Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Bigfoot Live radio show. TJ is indisposed right now. He should be coming up in a little bit. But we have quite a few people up here tonight to talk to. Let's see. Let's go down the list. Let's see. We got Dustin from Florida, Big D from Oklahoma, got Mike from Missouri, Christy from Arkansas. Well, Christy's not on yet. She'll come on a little later. Christy from Arkansas, and Audrey from Kentucky will be on later. So, and also we got Leo, Rocky, the Swede, and Doyle. Okay, so we're all here, and just wait for TJ to come on. But before we wait for TJ, let's go out here. Let's go to Florida and talk to Dustin and see what's going on. Dustin, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Marco?
I am doing great.
Good news.
Well, you know, the weather around here has been, I don't know, how's the weather been down there? Pretty kind of off and on, rain and...
Well, it's been real nice the last few days. It's been about 90 degrees, sunshine. It's really breaking over to summer almost, I'd say.
Good Florida weather.
Yeah, for sure. The snakes are out, I can tell you that. We ran across a little pygmy rattler snake yesterday when we were out hiking, checking some trails. But other than that, yeah.
You know, the scariest ones, little teeny ones. You know, the baby.
Yeah, this was a small baby one. It curled up and started shaking its little tail. Didn't even really have a rattler developed yet. And we had a couple kids with us, so we stepped back and I tried to, you know, ease it on with the stick, and that thing curled up and struck at the stick. And I was like, all right, let's just go the other way. We don't need to even try to go in here. There's probably more of them. And the kids didn't have snake boots, so we just went back to the main trails.
When I lived in South Carolina for a few years, and there was just tons and tons of cottonmouths. In fact, at night, what would happen is they said, never walk on our road at night. I said, why? And I drove my car down there at night. I found out why. The snakes are just completely covered on the tar, sucking up the heat off of the asphalt. And horrible. Tons of them. But we had the little kids in the neighborhood. They were running around in their little wagon, and they carried this little boy in the wagon. And one day he comes up, and he's got a can of worms. And he already ate one. And the can of worms was baby snakes.
Oh, my goodness.
10 times more poisonous than the, you know, because of the strength, right?
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah, that's crazy. When they bite, they release all their venom. They'll kill you quick.
Yeah, I took the tin can away from them, and we disposed of the little snakes. But, God. And he ate one.
That's crazy.
I know.
Hopefully he was just kidding.
My gosh. How are things down there? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm pretty excited, really, for the whole Searching for Bigfoot team to come in next week. I got a lot to show them. I tell you that. There's just a lot of good places to go out and research. And you know, I don't think they've ever been along the Apalachicola River, right? Through the panhandle of Florida. It's a big wilderness, and, you know, I really think they need to get it marked down on their little migratory maps they're planning out and marking it, plotting out across the country, I should say. There's just a lot going on, I can tell you that, but the tourists are starting to move in. I can tell you the summer, it gets real busy down here on the beach.
Well, have you what's the most recent... experience you've had with either encounter or anything that you've traced creatures?
We had an encounter. This is something a little bit different. We were driving home from work from Panama City Beach up Highway 79, not very far. There's the first 5 miles of 79 from the beach runs along this conservation park. And this animal crossed the road in the middle of the night. In front of me and my wife, and it was like a big black wolf. And there shouldn't be any big black wolves, I can tell you that. But it was, I don't know, man, probably 150 pounds at least, had a huge triangular head, and it had a tail that was probably 2 to 3 foot long, and it just had long black hair, and it crossed the road right in front of us and literally stopped as soon as it got off the road and just looked back at us like it wasn't even scared and just stood his ground on the side of the road as we passed it. And we slowed down.
Was it stand on two legs or what?
No, yeah, it was on four legs. It was crossing the road. It looked like a wolf, yeah, you know. It didn't try to stand up or nothing, but really there shouldn't be any large wolves like that, I would say, right here. So that was pretty strange.
Normally, yeah, that's true, Dustin. But you know what? What I found out, for instance, in Minnesota, the timber wolf was almost extinct for a while there. They brought them all back, and the gray wolf, you know, the big gray wolves, they brought those back.
Yeah.
We never had coyotes in Minnesota. Coyotes were only like on the West Coast. But now you look around the United States, and coyotes are everywhere. I mean, everywhere.
Yeah, there's lots of communities around here and other places I've been. I've seen a documentary on Netflix recently I guess it was a couple of years ago right now, but on the coy wolf, coyotes that bred with red wolves, and it's like Meet the Coy Wolf, that was the name of the documentary, and they were living close to city limits and everything and staying hidden, and they had a tracking collar on some baby ones, and they were still trying to get them on film and having a hard time, but they were tracking the loops that they were making and where they were frequenting and, you know, seeing where they actually lived and crossed through the roads and everything. It was pretty crazy. They were living amongst the city, basically.
Uh-huh.
That was a cross between coyote and wolf. So, yeah.
You know, when I was talking, I don't know if there were, we had a guy on several years ago from Florida, and he lived down, he lived in the, you know, in where they were digging out the, I forgot what they call it, but they, you know, have these great big shovel things that they operate. They dig out the swamp. Anyway, he operated that. And when he was down there, they would sit down at night and they would watch five or six of the creatures way down at the end where they were, where the shovel was. It was like on a big line, right? It's like a line, what a line drawer would, you know, draw. I can't remember the name, but that's what they did, and they'd, you know, dig it out, and they'd look down there, and these creatures would sit down on the edge of the forest and watch them. And one night, he thought, I'm not going to go up there without any protection, so he brought his shotgun with him, and it's a 12-gauge shotgun he brought with him, and he was operating the thing, and one of the creatures started walking towards them, and so what he did is he got his shotgun, and he thought he'd just shoot in the air over his head, right? And he'd shoot in the air over his head, and then it would be, you know, scared away, right? Well, he shot in the air over his head. It didn't scare it away. It kept coming. And pretty soon the doggone thing got pretty doggone close, and this was just about the time he was waiting for the ride, for his ride. His brother-in-law or something come pick him up, right? And about that time, that thing was almost like on him, within 30 feet of him. And his brother-in-law came up, and he jumped in that truck, and they took off. He never went back to work.
My father-in-law gives me a hard time a lot. He thinks I'm on a reckless pursuit, just tracking the animals. He tries to tell me how deadly they are. He's like, once you keep tracking it, you're going to come up on it. And he tries to tell me, you may carry a gun when you're hunting or whatever, but it ain't going to be big enough if this thing turns on you. And he tells me all the horror stories he hears and stuff. And I just say, well, you know,
some of it's true.
Some of it's true, but, you know, most of the time they run from you. I think they're scared of me.
Again?
But I think they're scared of me, or when other people are even, you know, walking through the woods with us and we're hunting, they'd rather, you know, take flight and take off, but it would be crazy to have one.
I don't think they're scared at all. They're curious. They tend to follow around. You know, like when you go deer hunting.
Yeah.
When you go deer hunting, okay, and you're going to flush the deer out, right? The deer go all the way around, right or left, come all the way around and up behind you. And then all of a sudden you hear a snort, and you just scare the hell out of you.
Yeah, they blow them, let a lot of deer know you're there.
I think they're pretty much aware of their surroundings. In when we come in, I think they know.
They know if they're hidden from us or not, or if they can be spotted, whether they need to take off or we don't see them or not. And they definitely watch us, and they probably track us as we move down through the woods.
Where people have, like, walking back into their campsite, you know, like when they were deer hunting or something, and the creature was behind the guy, and everybody in the campsite was going, and he didn't know it, and he stopped, and he said, look behind you, and he looked behind him, and about 20 feet behind him was this gigantic creature but was about 8 foot right. tall. And it just walked. He walked into camp, and then the creature walked off into the side of the forest and disappeared.
Well, for that same exact reason, my father-in-law, he has talked me into wearing his GoPro, his like Hero 5, on my back or on my backpack, because he's trying to tell me he's seen footage of people, hunters, putting them on their back when they're walking out, and they've had footage of bears and cougars stalking them, and they would never see it, because as you're walking straight ahead, you know, they can tell how you're moving at your gait and the ground you're covering, if you're paying attention behind you or not. And if you're stopping and looking, then they're hiding from you, but when you're walking, they'll be tracking you. And he's just saying, you got it, when you get in those areas, put this on, turn it on. When you're walking down through the woods or coming out, just film so they can see what's tracking you, because you know they are. And I'm like, you know, that's a pretty good idea. I'm going to take them up on it and try it out. Starting when we go out to the river here, once the Searching for Bigfoot team gets here this beginning of the week, I'm going to start wearing one like that just to see what's going on when I'm checking my cameras and stuff, you know.
Well, that's good. That's good, yeah. What do you have planned?
Well, tell you the truth, we got 3 cameras set that I haven't checked for 2 months, and that's about how long I like to leave them set. The batteries usually run for about 4 months, and they had all new batteries when I set them. I like to stay out of the area, and, you know, if I know no one's going to be going in there and whatnot, just to let it stay as natural as I can with just to, you know, scare the animals less with your presence by checking them more often. If you let it go for like 2 months, that at a month and a half to 2 months, that's when I had success before at leaving the camera for that long. And I got them filming together, like in a group where they're filming in 3 opposite directions. So if they happen to see one of the cameras first, and I tried to camo them all into the woods good, then if they try to go around behind it, they're going to run into one of the other ones. That's the way I think I got them. So we're going to check the footage and then go down and check the ravines and sloughs for some tracks. And I know where there was a bedding area in the past, and we're going to go in there and to the trails that go into it, but it's really thick and growed up high now. We're going to try to fly a drone over the top of it to see if we can find the matted down goldenrods from above, because it's like 10 to 12 foot high right now. It's a big area of planted pines that are probably a half a dozen years old or so.
Mm-hmm.
But that's close to the other area where the cameras are, which is all within a quarter mile of the biggest river in Florida.
Oh, gosh. Well, man, I need to find out if this is TJ coming on a different phone. Okay?
All right.
650, who is this?
Marco, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, TJ, I knew it was you.
Yeah.
We're on with Dustin right now.
Yep. I'm trying to get in. We're out in the middle of freaking Alabama. It's tough. I do apologize, guys. It's hard to get the signal out there. I do apologize.
Well, you don't have to apologize. That's the way it is when you're on the expedition.
What is it?
That's what you got me here for.
You know, we're going to be in Florida here soon. We're going to link up with Dustin down in Florida.
Dustin is on right now. As a matter of fact,
I'm
so sorry.
Want
to
say hi to him?
I'm sorry,
Michael. Hey, TJ, how's it going, man? Looking forward to seeing you beginning next week.
So, it's hard. I do apologize, guys. We're going to Florida. We're going to meet up with Dustin. We're going to try to figure out what's going on in the Florida Basin area in Panama. I do apologize. The friggin' cell signal doesn't work.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, TJ?
Marco, I hear you every now and then. I'm trying to come in with you.
Okay, don't worry about it. We'll just, I know it's just it's too hard, so don't worry about it. I'll just take the show you guys, I'm sure you can get some rest.
I want people to know that. And we're going there. Don't worry. We're coming. We're going to figure this out.
There we go, buddy. Dustin is on. He heard you. And he's getting everything ready for you.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be set up. We're going to have a great time. I can tell you that. And I'd like to invite other researchers down, too. I don't know. You say you had D on the line? Can we talk with him, too?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
I was asking if you had D on the line. I'd like to. I'm glad
that
they're coming
down. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put you on hold for now. I'm going to go to D.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go to Mike from Missouri. We're going to go with all three of you guys. And then
I wanted to tell all the other researchers I was going to invite them down to Florida if they ever got a chance. Like, you know, D, he's more than welcome. He's my brother.
Towards the end of the show here, we're going to all be together talking about each other, asking questions of each other, everybody.
Cool. Right.
Okay?
On. That sounds good.
I'm going to open it up
yeah.
for everybody. Okay?
All right.
Well,
talk to you then.
Appreciate everything. Thanks for coming on tonight, and stay on. We're going to get back together here a little later on. I'm going to go to and get D on the line right now. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
How's everybody
doing?
How
you
doing? Be back with you guys. If I was doing any better, I'd have to complain about it. Doing great, Marco. Good to hear from you. I heard Brother Leo's on here. It's always a pleasure.
Leo's on. Let's see. Did he make it on? Nope. He didn't make it on yet. He was
on
before.
Well.
What happened to Leo is...
Marco,
he was on a special assignment. Maybe his phone.
I hear you. I don't want to mess the show up. I do apologize. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, TJ.
Awesome. We're out here in Alabama, Florida area. We're going to be moving south here. And things are crazy and nuts.
Hey, TJ, you're cutting in and out. You're cutting in and out, TJ.
That about sums up the whole thing.
Tell me, how you been doing?
I've been doing pretty well. We did a little excursion. There was a crew that came down from Missouri and Mississippi. We went to one of my research areas and had a lot of good vocalization. It was just the typical stuff that you would hear in one of these hot spots. You know what I mean? A little bit of wood knocking, not too much, but they were encompassing on it. A lot of vocalizations, a lot of the false owl sounds that you hear. What I would consider definitive, for people who know the creatures, they would know that that's definitive, at least there in the area.
Marco, I heard D.
Yes, sir.
Doss.
That's the rumor.
A good.
How's it going, Cap?
Buddy.
Yes, sir.
Is awesome, dude.
No, thank you very much. I sincerely appreciate that.
Tough. But.
No one else.
TJ, you're cutting in and out, buddy. We can only get about every third word here.
I can't hear you, TJ. I think you're losing signal. But see, that's the thing. That's what I was about to say. TJ is always out there sleeping in the mud where there is no cell phone signal. So I'm surprised.
Oh, I know. Well,
I'm not quite on
TJ's
level.
You had some vocals, though, right?
Yeah.
You had some vocals?
Yes, sir. Strange vocalizations, what they call samurai chatter. it sounded like a bunch of strange bird sounds, which really can't play, you know, from the what type of bird it is. But underneath that, you hear the voice that's deeper than my voice in the family. Like, I've heard it described, you know, that's not the answer to the way that is. It's very, very odd, especially when you're traveling 3, 4, 5, 8 miles to hear something like that. And I always try to encourage researchers who want to get in the field to get out there, but to know exactly what to see, what to watch out for, and what to listen for. Experienced woodsmen know the difference between an owl that sounds like it's coming from a bullhorn and the natural owl itself. So these things are great. You know, Jim Henson can't throw his voice like these things can. But, yeah, that was my last experience out in the brush, which, like I said, was cool getting
Dustin,
to meet a lot.
Dustin wanted to talk to you a couple seconds and talk to you about something. Dustin, go ahead.
All right. Hey, D,
up,
how you doing, bro?
Good, how are you?
Good evening.
Yeah, I heard you're planning an excursion down there your way, man.
Yeah, yep, that's going to be exciting. This Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're going to go at it pretty hard, you know, and get out there and stay out there.
You're in a lot more hostile environment than I am.
Yeah, man, it is scary.
I'm on the big plane, you know.
You're in the land before Tom down there.
Yeah. Like I said before, my father-in-law, he gives me the hardest time. He said, I will not go out there. I asked him if he wanted to go out there and camp and stay with us, and he said, no, I'm staying on the porch. He said, I'm not afraid to admit it. He's a retired Army sergeant, and he just said, that's nothing for us to be messing with like that. I'd rather go fishing any day. He said, you can go out there and have it. And I'm like, he said, you know, I'm interested in seeing it to get it recorded more and stuff, but he said, I don't want to be any part of it. He gives me a hard time all the time. You got your life insurance policy up to date? That's what he asked me the other day. I'm like, yeah, man. He's like, well, not for enough. Come on, man.
Well, yeah, it's a catch-22, you know, to go out there at night. That's when they're most active. That's the catch-22. That's when they're most active. They can move around in almost full discretion and be right next to you. You wouldn't know it just because of their ability to blend in.
Oh, yeah. I don't like going too deep in the woods in the nighttime. In the daytime, I'm fine with it, you know, with other people and stuff. But, man, at nighttime, I like to stay close to our camp or, you know, close to the main trails. I'll go out there a little bit and mess around, but you're right. They could be right up on you in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. But, you know, that's the game. That's the job.
Yeah.
Get as close as possible. That's the reason why it's sort of definitive proof.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, I'm hoping we'll just have some good footage. I haven't checked these trail cameras for 2 months. I'm pretty excited to sit down and watch that. That'll take a few hours probably just to go through 3 cameras worth of footage for 2 months. And, man, what a prime location. It's a new spot. I haven't filmed that yet. And it is a good spot, let me tell you. So that'll be interesting to see the wildlife anyways.
That's outstanding. Yeah, and I mean, it's always better than sitting around watching a football game, right?
Oh, yeah, you're actually watching nature passing by. It's kind of like time-lapse photography in the woods. It's cool.
And, you know, we don't know where these creatures' intelligence level begins and ends either. So that's another doing this 3 years straight full time, I'm still, like I said, kind of leery about camping in an active area. I'd like to know the area, study the topography, and make a good game plan to at least set up some sort of an operating base outside that area. As not to intrude on them and encroach on them too much, because that's the last thing you want to do is you can't pin them in a corner, because as soon as you put it in your ass, they're pretty much in control of the situation. They live out there, we don't.
I'm looking forward to one day. You said you're coming around on an expedition for when you come through the panhandle, so I can show you this one place we got where they built this house back on the river in the late 60s, and nobody lives in it, but they use it different times of the year, you know, not for any extended periods of time, but it's back in there in that wilderness, so you can get back in there and get, you know, in the camp. It's a two-story fish camp, and you can see good from the porches and whatnot, and there's a private access road that drives around through the property. But, you know, so you can be pretty secure and safe at night, you know, and still be right back there, right in the woods. You know, you can smell it, hear it, everything, you know. You just, I want you to see it, man. It's really awesome place. Yeah, one day I just can't wait for you to come around. We get together and just spend some time out there, you know, enjoy it, breathe it in.
Yes, sir. Yeah, there's a trip planned to Hanobi this weekend as well. That's prime real estate down there. You know, hundreds upon hundreds of years, there's been reports of the same creature that we're chasing today. 100% same description. So, as far as as everybody on this phone call knows, we all know that the creature exists. You know, and we all, in our own way, try to either add to the body of evidence that's already in place, or, you know, it's all about proof and further evidence. Because there's mountains of evidence already in place to prove that the creature exists. So,
that's
if you don't have fun with
it,
it's not worth doing.
No, you're right, and it's all about promoting overall awareness, you know, because there's a lot of people out there that just still don't believe, and if we can get people to choose to believe, you know, we're achieving milestones, I believe, because, hey, we're really going to save people. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, if I do this 20 years and 3 more people believe and did, you know, before I started, I've done a good job, I think.
Heck yeah, man. That's the type
of
goals I'm looking
at. I'm going to put temporarily on hold. We're going to bring the other two guests on. As soon as the other two guests are on, we're going to put everybody on. We're going to have a free-for-all kind of question and answer and a big thing. How's
sounds
that?
Great. Sounds
okay. I'm going to put you on hold now.
Thank you, Marco.
And Big D, I'm putting you on hold now. And here we go. I'm going to go up here to Missouri here. We're going to talk to Mike. Mike, how are you?
I'm great, Marco. How are you?
I am great. So anything new coming in on going out there?
You know, it was interesting when Tom and TJ and everybody came by for a visit. We got to take a walk around. I showed them around the place out here, and they were able to identify some features that I hadn't, of course, with their experience. And had a real good time sharing some stories and things like that. We had a big log thrown across the pathway where we would walk down there that had been there, you know, just fairly recently. And we couldn't figure out where that thing came from. Tom himself said that it looked like it wasn't the same kind of trees that were in the area. So interesting to see that type of sign and it was kind of funny, too, because right before they came out, I had called in briefly to the show. I couldn't be on it for a long time, but in the time it took me to get off the show, I like to sit outside like I am right now while I'm on your show, and heard some wood knocks that night, too. So it's interesting. We've had a little bit of activity, not a whole bunch like we did when it was a drought a few years ago. But, you know, the more I learn from you guys, the more I learn what to look for, you know?
Well, that's pretty interesting. How, what, so now, TJ's already been by you guys, so he got a chance to stop by there. Dustin
yep.
and, you're going to stop in Florida here in a couple of days, and, so they're making the rounds, TJ's making the rounds. So, you know, sometimes when we're on when they're on expedition, we have a hard time with the communications aspect of things because the, you know, cell phone areas are real drifty, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much we can what we like to do is we like to do the shows from the field, you know, right where they're there.
Right.
And that's kind of interesting, you know, because you can talk to all the people that are there with them and stuff like that. Well, I'm going to bring, I got some new people just come on here. I want to find out who they are. But I've got Christy on the line here as well. And as soon as I get done with Christy here, and I got to find out who these other two people are, as soon as I find out Christy, what I'll do is we'll all get together on the line here. How's that? And then kind of open it up for everybody to talk.
Sounds good.
Is that okay, Mike? I'm going to leave you on right now. I'm just going to get Christy out here.
Oh, okay.
Chris,
sounds
how
good.
Are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
Good, good. Well,
who is
welcome
this?
Again.
This is, Marco.
Yes.
Yeah, I just got on.
Yeah, I seen you. That's why I wanted to take you on. You know, I'm gonna find out who these other guys are here. 816-0777. Who is this? Area code 816-0777. Who is this? Hello? 816-269-777. Okay. Five 517. Who is this? 3595. Audrey? Audrey? No, that's all right. Sorry. Here's what I'm gonna open it up now for everybody. Doyle, you're on. Big D, you're
How
on.
How you doing, Marco? How you doing, Marco?
Yeah. Weed, you're on. Rocky, you're on.
Hey,
Rocky,
you're on. How's everybody doing?
Yeah, doing good.
Okay, well, Dustin and Big D were talking about the upcoming week here happen. Was there any questions anybody had for Dustin or Big D?
We're getting a lot of background noise here.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of feedback going on.
Yeah, well, a couple of the phones got some real bad connection.
Did Leo make it on? He said
he was on, and then he went off. I don't know what happened.
The night of the cursed phones.
Yeah, well, you know, if you got a storm in the area or something like that, it doesn't help.
Yeah, for sure. Weather's been bananas lately.
Brothers, we got the Rocky Slaves on here tonight.
Hey there, Doyle.
Hey, Rocky Doyle, how are you, gentlemen?
Good. Doing good.
Yeah, that's good. Good to hear from you.
Is the suite on?
I put them on. Sweet, are you on? Well, he could be sleeping, or maybe he's got his phone muted.
Anyways, hey, D, man, I had to let you know. You've been putting out some good videos, man.
I sincerely appreciate that.
Nah, man, I enjoy watching your videos. Every time you put something out, man, we watch it twice and show it to someone else, and they're always like, man, that's good stuff.
Thank you, man. I've been on a little hiatus of late, just focused on the field work and everything, but I appreciate that.
Yeah, I know how it goes. You can't do everything you want.
And for anybody interested, the YouTube channel, the Bigfoot Dogman Research Project, I'd love to have each and every last one of you on. Me and Marco have been trying to put a show together where the Searching for Bigfoot crew comes on and, you know, have all you guys come on my channel to talk to the folks.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. That's a good idea.
We also
man.
Have Ken from Michigan on right now. Oh, and he may have some updated stuff from his end. Ken, are you there? Ken from Michigan, are you there?
Well, Dan ain't here, but Doyle is. I'm in.
Sorry.
Hey, well, one other thing, D. I wanted to let you know I just did a revision on my book. The first one that I wrote, you see the plug in there, man. I told people they could see footage you had it on your channel. That's one thing they could do. But then I told people in the second book that's coming out here in about a month or so, you know, I put some good things in there. I told them you were one of the, you know, best list with the YouTube channel for Cryptid Variety. And that's a big
oh, thank you, man. I appreciate
yeah.
that vote of confidence.
Yeah.
You know, Big
yeah,
D, one of the things that I'm working on, I'm wanting to get together with you on it, is I have a kind of a system that I ran out. What you can do is I can get 1,000 screens for the video on it.
No, nice.
You know, put the screens on it. And it's just like this. It's voice. It's also video and voice. The big thing about it is, for instance, movies and any kind of document, anything, you can show and everybody can see it. You know, they got
well,
one
that's outstanding.
Basically, they can see everything. So it's just like a presentation, if you want.
Right, like a PowerPoint presentation.
And it's right from your computer. You don't have to nothing. You just bring the file up. They're looking at your computer. Everybody's looking at your computer, whoever the host is, right? Share hosting.
That sounds awesome. I mean, that'll give people a better perspective when we're kind of describing a piece of footage or referencing something.
Yeah. And one of the things that I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get ready for TJ, so when they're on the road, they can use this as a from-the-field documentation.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
It records everything. So you can record the whole thing, you know. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, record everything in real time. Put the audience there with them in the field. Because a lot of people want to, and for whatever kind of, you know, circumstance or reason, they can't. But that would bring them closer to the action.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything I can do to help, Marco, I'd love to.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got to put it, I got a little bit left to go, put it together. And I got to experiment with it. What I might do is we can experiment, maybe me and you can get together and experiment with it to make it work.
I love being a guinea pig.
No, what I'm talking about is put it on the air for everybody. But
Yeah, for sure. I know exactly what you mean. That sounds good. That sounds great, man. Get with me tomorrow or whenever you have a chance to get it set up, and we'll definitely take a look at it.
Probably it's like next week sometime.
Sounds great, brother.
Okay.
Gentlemen, I'm going to jump off here and give somebody else a chance to chew the fat with y'all. It's been outstanding. We got to quit making it so long. I have to get back on here next Wednesday.
I got it. About some research I heard about, and I don't know what your opinion is, but I'll have to ask you another time. But
you got my number and everything. Just hit me up, brother.
Yeah, I'm going to send you a link to this YouTube video guy did and his opinion about the Bible code and what he found out about Bigfoot in it, and I just wanted to know what you thought about it, but I want you to look into it.
You know I have an opinion on it. Gentlemen,
yeah,
Rocky,
yeah, yeah.
Marco, all of you guys, it's always a pleasure. You guys have a great night searching for Bigfoot team. They're always out there globetrotting. They're the Harlem Globetrotters of Bigfoot research, I like to say.
Okay,
you guys have a great night. Yes, sir. Thank you. Bye bye.
Yeah, I got a really good Marco Hill show. That's a fact, Marco. You see, get up with him and his big buddy Tater, they could figure out what he was talking about and have something. They could work something out where he could film from the field. That'd be good, man.
Oh, well.
Well, does anybody else have anything that a recent event or anything that's taken place? Like to discuss? Ken from Michigan, are you still on there? I think he dropped off the air, I think. His wife's birthday was today, so that's why he couldn't come on. They were going out to celebrate. But I would like to try to... Yes.
We've had a big
Doyle, are you on there?
Yeah.
Okay, did you have a question?
No, I was trying to say that we've had a major cattle killing over in County, Tennessee.
You got, boy, I tell you what, Doyle, you got some kind of feedback or something on your thing there. You seem to be in and out for some reason. I don't know why. Oops. Oh, let's see. We got, Mike. We got Dustin. We got Christy. And, hear about this other individual. Have any of three folks got anything that you'd like? I'd like to ask you guys, Dustin and Blake, about your most which encounter or the encounter that you had.
Tree that was pushed down that had been tore off and like chewed on and stuff, and I got to the spot by boat because the river was all flooded, and it was like this ridge that the animals were staying in because it was one of the only dry spots in the whole forest because the river was flooded down through there everywhere. And I was looking and I found some hair, and I was thinking, man, there's hair stuck in this branch. This is crazy. And then I was going to sit there and climb up in the tree stand and sit there because it was deer season and hog season too. And I thought, well, heck, maybe, you know, I'll have some luck. And I went to climb the tree and this thing roared over in the distance. I don't know how far for sure, 80 yards, maybe, I guess, down through the woods. And I mean, it sounded like a bear, like a lion. It roared so loud like three times that I was frozen just standing there looking down through the woods, expecting something was going to come charging at me, but, you know, it never did, and I never heard nothing else. And after about an hour, I just snuck out of there, got back in the boat, and went on downstream back to the truck because, man, it just sounded scary, I can tell you that. But that animal definitely didn't like me being there in the area where it had been hanging out in the last few days. I knew that.
Is this Ken?
This is
Ken talking?
No, it's Dustin. I was just telling him about an encounter I had out in the woods.
I thought, no, I understand that, Dustin. Okay, no problem. What I got to do is I got to mute. There's a couple of phones that really have a lot of background noise, and I had to mute them out. And I'll bring them back on a little later. Right now, Mike, did you have anything that you'd like to talk with either with Dustin?
Well, I'm sure enjoying the story that helps validate some of the things that I've experienced in my area when I hear you guys talk about this stuff. You know, we had one particular time what was interesting enough to get a footprint cast. And, you know, we had a lot of activity one year. And it kind of died off, but we had all kinds of strange things, like, you know, a large, heavy gate, right? A steel panel. It's rolled steel gate that you put on a corral. We had one of those lifted off, just lifted off the hinges a couple of years ago. It was just strange things kept happening. So when I hear some of these stories, they're real interesting. I had a neighbor that had a situation kind of similar to what Dustin was just talking about with a roar. And he'd gone outside to investigate. You know, he went out there because his dogs were barking and going crazy. And he has them pinned up, thank goodness. So they don't like dogs, I don't think. But the neighbor went outside to figure out what was going on. And by the time he got to the end of his porch, this thing roared at him from the tree line loud enough that he felt like it almost knocked him back into the house. It was so loud, you know. It's interesting.
Wow. Yeah, they're powerful.
Well, you know,
when you hear them.
I was trying
like
to have
that.
Ken on here tonight from Michigan. Ken from Michigan, he kind of lives in a wildlife preserve. It's his own preserve. Him and his wife operate it. And they've had a lot of action. Of course, he actually got tackled by a Bigfoot, broke his ribs. And so it was pretty harrowing experience for him. He thinks that what happened is he got close to maybe to where they had their young, and they were in a protective mode, you know what I mean? And he just happened to walk in on that area, and then the creature lambasted him, tackled him like a football. But he had a lot of interesting encounters as well.
I was on one night, I think, Marco, when he was talking about it. He's the guy that set up his own kind of preserve and had a large rabbit that the thing was trying to get after. And
sure.
Yeah. That was interesting. That was really interesting hearing from him.
Was it you that talked about a wolf?
Me, Mark.
Was that Dustin?
I did earlier today.
I got to tell you something. In Minnesota, I'm from Minnesota originally, but in Minnesota, right around where my family lives, I have a couple of, it's like a brother-in-law. They are Indians, and they have their own little group and have established a Bigfoot research group in the area there. And they, of course, have had full experiences with the regular creature, you know, the 8-foot, 7-foot creature that's, you know, big, that type. However, this one, they had an encounter, and it was on the roof of a cabin. They've seen it. And it was a dog-faced Bigfoot. Is a Bigfoot that has looks like a wolf's face or a canine face, pointed ears. It stands on. It has dog legs, but it stands on dog legs and walks.
Hmm.
Now, the easiest to be able to see like this. They've had a couple of research pictures done on it on the internet. And in Wisconsin, they have what they call the Beast of Bay Road. This other was Beast of the Seven Chutes in Canada. And that, if you go Google it, Beast of the Seven Chutes, you'll see a whole array of information on a that gentleman on our program several years ago. Couldn't speak English. He was a French Canadian. Well, they had another guy come on and speak English for him. He had taken a picture in Canada, and he didn't know it. Time when he brought the picture back home and started examining it, he found here's this creature, and it was a wolf-looking creature that was holding a little dog. Looked like the dog was dead. I mean, there's several instances where people have seen and encountered a dog-faced Bigfoot, and that's what I thought that you were, Dustin, that you were you may have seen, but no,
That's why, you know, I just told you I wasn't sure, but you asked me if I had any encounters. I had to say that was pretty strange because there shouldn't be no, like, dark wolves right here in Florida. And I, you know, have heard of these encounters with, like, the dog-type Bigfoot. And it may have been because I know they travel on all fours, but we were going, you know, 60 mile an hour down the road. It crossed right in front of us, and we, like, slowed down to 50 real quick, and I looked directly at its face and body, but then again, I can't seem to remember to see where its hands or feet were touching the ground to tell you, you know, and I didn't see it get up on all two, and by the time we stopped to pull over more to look back, then it was gone and took off. It was dark. We couldn't see. We didn't have a light to shine back there, but, you know, that's why I was kind of hinting at that maybe this animal was not one of the animals, a smaller one yet, like a younger one, and maybe it could have stood up and walked and had me. I don't know, because they're on the ground and it was in the middle of the night, you know, but it was strange, man. I can see that it was something different that shouldn't have been there, and it crossed right in front of us. And there's like a big conservation park coming out of, going into another large wilderness area. It's all pretty, no housing and stuff. You know how it is back in the day. Long intercoastal waterways. There's a lot of places for these animals to be.
Some amazing things that some of you guys talk about, and I have scads and scads and scads of pictures from people over a 15-year period where we've collected, for instance, tree formations. I have about every kind of tree formation you can even think of, and these aren't human or man-made tree formations. These are made by something other than, you know.
Yeah,
really,
you find some different stuff.
Really neat things, right? Some real stuff. You know, a tree's broken off right in half, and it's not a lightning or a windstorm. I mean, broken off right in half. Trees pulled out of the ground, stuffed upside down. You know what I'm talking about? The top of the tree stuffed down. Yeah. Trees blocking a path. They do that all the time. They block
the time
a pathway.
I've had a game on a game trail, and then they'll block the game trail with a big branch where my camera's filming on, and they'll take, like, a big limb and stuff it straight in the ground like a post as, like, a blocking marker, too. I've done that so many times around my camera.
Yeah, same thing with tree twists and also layers. They make layers for hunting for deer or for other animals. Layer and jump out.
I found one last summer in Pennsylvania in this jumbo woods, and I got it on film. I showed it to the godfather, and the first thing he said, this is a lair. And in the second book I got coming out this summer, there's a part about tracking them, and I got about 20 photos of just different structures in this lair in the woods from a couple angles. Man, you're going to have to see it, Marco. It's something else, but something could crawl in there. And it's built, like, with two walls at the bottom of a hill as the base of the hill bent, making a third wall with a roof, and all these sticks just intertwined, and it's pretty wild. It was about as high up, you know, as my waist where the opening was or something to crawl in. It was a little bit growed up. It was crazy, man. But everyone will be able to see that this summer once the book comes out about tracking these animals, so. You all see what I'm talking about.
Well, we're coming to the end of the show. I got about 2 minutes or about a minute now, and I got to play the ending. But I want to thank everybody for coming on. Christy, are you all right?
I'm doing great.
Okay. Mike, thank you for coming on.
My pleasure.
And you too, Dustin. Take care, okay? But we'll see you.
My pleasure, Marco.
Yep. Keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. We'll see everybody next week. Take care now. Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster, mission, mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them all together, reason for the facts.